Hi, I'm Streaky. This is Shay, and this is the Audio Engineering Podcast. And today we're discussing music college, technology college,
education in general,
education for audio engineering. My thoughts, Shay's thoughts, and he's kind of in a position of authority here because he is actually a lecturer at ACM, which is the what's it stand for?
The Academy of Contemporary Music.
There you go.
Oh yes.
So and I've had no education in my life, so I'm probably good because I'm completely the opposite, which is nothing to boast about. But there you go. So my thoughts on it to get the ball rolling is, well, you've kind of changed my mind a little bit over the last however long, because things have changed since I was a boy. Yep. And my thoughts on it have always been, I don't actually like it, because if I have a kid coming in the room and he thinks he knows it all, and it's painful, because I would rather, if I'm employing somebody, I'd rather they made the tea, sat in on the sessions, I trained them up to how I work. And quite honestly, I think that would save them 3 years of going to college.
Okay.
I mean, you sat in with me and I taught you how to master records in the way that I like to master them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'll start, I can give you a base settings and then work you from there and tell you why I do things and why I don't, and what are you doing that for? There's no need. All the, basically, as an engineer, I can give you all the shortcuts that I've learned over the last 25 years within about 3 hours.
Yep.
And that will get you further than trying to work it out for yourself for 10 years.
But on the other side of it, in order to have got me sat in the room, first of all, to be able to make the teas and do the admin stuff and then get in your room, I had to go to college first. There's no way I would have been able to, there's no way I would have got in contact with you inquiring about work if I hadn't have gone to university in the first place, because I wouldn't have known that much about the mastering side of things and got that interested in the mastering without being around the people that I was at university and learning those things there, learning kind of the basics and the ideas behind it, to then get into it and think, right, I want to go to mastering studios. Like, I want to work in mastering studios.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what a mastering studio was. I just wanted to work in a studio. But we're talking, the world is a different place now, especially what we do technology-wise. You know, you had to work in a studio. There was no home recording unless you were stupidly rich, because everything was analog. And so, you know, totally different ball game.
Yeah.
You had, there was only a certain amount of jobs. Fortunately, I wrote off to every single one. Mm-hmm. You know, found the old showcase manual.
Yes.
The yellow pages, if you like, because there was no internet, and then just wrote handwritten letters to everyone. And I've still got rejection letters from Abbey Road and all these other places at home, which is quite amusing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I might, that's only because I'm kind of old school, but a lot of studios these days actually probably want you to have a slight audio education, because you're up against everybody else. They want somebody who comes in and they can say to them straight away, oh, get us a 58 with a blah, 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 and a blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
And they know what they're talking about, rather than having to just be a complete dumbass and not know anything at all.
Exactly.
I mean, that's quite painful. So there's kind of extremes. Do you want somebody who's overeducated? Because I also think that with education, a lot of the times, some of the things that they teach you, I don't even need to think about when I'm, I think that's the same in most education. It's like maths, you know, do you need to know what a cosine is?
Yeah, of course.
Not really.
Yes.
But unless you're doing, you know, something mental with maths, but
you're
still going to learn it. So from my point of view, there's loads of things that they teach you at audio college that is just irrelevant for what you want to know.
However,
although it does give you a grounding on loads of different areas. Is that where you're about to go?
It's exactly what I'm saying. When I first went there, all I was making was garage music and a little bit of drum and bass. And that's all I was doing. And that was from my sight for that was that's all I want to be doing for the rest of my life. Making garage music, DJing. And then I didn't have an idea about recording, mixing, mastering, nothing. It wasn't in my brain at all. It wasn't in my foresight. And then when I went there, I got into the business side of things, and then I got into the recording side of things and the acoustic side of things and everything that circles around audio. And a lot of people just didn't care for it, and some of them didn't bother showing up to those lectures about it because they were just so blindsided by all I want to be doing is making house music, for instance. So they weren't interested in mixing or mastering or recording bands. But once it was there and kind of put on a plate for you to say, this is how this is done, you're going to be forced now to learn how to use Pro Tools and learn how to make, not just make music, but produce music, record music, mix music. It opened my eyes to those things. And then, like I say, if I didn't go to university, there's no way I would have got into the recording, the acoustics, the mixing and the mastering, which means I wouldn't have ever met you in the first place. I wouldn't have ever worked at some of the other studios. I'd still be in my flat in the living room making garage music and doing nothing with it.
Yeah.
See what I mean? And it's like, even though you do have that education behind you, when you go to a studio to work, you don't go in with the, I've got a degree, I know what I'm doing. You go in with the, what do you want me to do? How do you like your team?
Well, the thing is, I think that's you though, more than anything, because that was the whole reason why I wanted you to work with me, because you were more humble than other people.
Okay.
So it's, you kind of come in with a, and what you're saying there, you're really, and this is really key for anybody that's getting into music or any field, I think, is that it's showing willingness to learn and not be a big head and not be, be humble. Let, even though, there's loads of things that I've said to you and you're looking at me as if to say, well, that's not true. but you're respectful enough to go, okay, fine. Well, if you think that, then crack on, and that's fine. That's good. But, there's plenty of things that you've said that I've thought, thanks. I didn't know that, but I'll pretend that I do.
Okay.
But it's kind of like the attitude, I think, that you get, that you've got, which is very similar to what everybody who gets on in life has got, where it's working really hard and pushing themselves and doing anything they can to get where they want to go.
Yeah.
And that comes down to doing rubbish jobs before you get into doing what you want to do, as in this. And I guess that's why you ended up going to college, or a lot of people do. I mean, I was going to go to the only one that was around when I was starting out was the School of Audio Engineering, SAE.
Yeah, that's still going now.
Yeah, that's massive. And it was, I was always going to sign up. I've still got sort of to-do lists, because I do them every year, of what I want to try and achieve.
Yeah.
And I've still got them going back to when I was in my sort of early 20s, sign up to SAE this year. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's never did.
Yeah.
But because it wasn't such a big thing then, and it was kind of a bit anoraky.
Yeah.
And you didn't really, it didn't have as much focus. I mean, obviously every college now has audio stuff because they can afford to have a load of Macs lined up and keyboards. And, my kids' schools do it. So it's so much more accessible.
Yeah.
But, and also maybe going to college is these days going to open you up to thinking of other areas of music to go into, which I wouldn't have known about, which is kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when I went to college, for instance, like straight after school, like in school, the music department was like a few xylophones and like a piano that we just got to mess about with and hit stuff with beaters. And then in college, there was no music department. That you could study music, but it was all theory-based. There was no music technology whatsoever at my college.
Oh, right. We had that at school. See, we obviously had a really bad school.
Well, no. I mean, the sixth form college I went to was pretty good, but like there was no... There was music technology, it was called.
Must have had a four-track, surely.
But, I mean, it was dry. It wasn't that great.
Old Tascam four-track, bouncing the tracks down. Did you not do that?
No. But I mean, saying that, when I was in sixth form college, I was more into art than I was music. I liked music and I liked going to raves and I liked DJing music, but I wasn't into making it. I had no care about making it. It was just once I left there and got and started making it off the back of DJing that I thought, I really need, this is what I want to do. Do you know what I mean? And like that, I could have just gone at that stage and applied to places, but no real place at the time was interested in taking me on without having either experience in a different studio or some form of knowledge in it.
Well, maybe that's the case these days, where it wasn't for me, which is, I've always been, as you know, anti going to college. And this, this is now podcast now starting to sound like an advert for going to college. But, and I still think that there is a lot of, if you go somewhere and you learn off somebody, then it's great. But it's trying to get that opportunity in the first place, which is really difficult still.
And times change. And as well, like with the technology changing, like say when you were starting out, there was two ways of making records. You used a tape machine or like a DAP machine or something like that nowadays, and like you needed to be in a studio in order to do it. Whereas nowadays you can buy a laptop for £250, you could set yourself up with a laptop, some free software, and you can make music straight away. So like the saturation of people being able to make music means that more styles are coming out, there's more equipment, the need for more equipment, so you kind of need to have that sort of basis knowledge in order to be able to rise above the standard person.
Yeah, my only thing is that if you're also, it's, you know, when I've learned, the way I've learned how to do everything in the studio is through working with good people. Every time that I've gone to a new studio, even when I went to Metropolis, it's kind of like not starting again, but you kind of see what everyone else is doing and then you learn from them.
Yeah.
And so the old classic, if you can't teach,
if you can do it, if you can't teach.
Yeah, then it's like, I think that sometimes you're not better to be trying to get into a studio rather than work with someone who's, you know, just very theory based, that's a college lecturer who's not working day in, day out on the tracks that you want to work on.
Yeah. I mean, as with that, if you can do and if you can't teach thing, it depends on what you can do and what you're actually teaching. Like, for instance, music wise or music technology, which it was called, but like music creation and production nowadays, it's the sort of subject that you need to be actively doing or be a part of the scene and doing stuff to be able to teach it, because it evolves so quickly. Every year there's different styles of music out, there's different equipment out, there's different DAWs, there's different softwares, and you need to be kind of on top of it. Like I said to you before, if I was making sort of jazz music 50 years ago, what would give me the right now to teach kids or young people how to make EDM music today? I made music still, but I'm not in that sort of industry. I'm not in that scene at all. Where like I said before, it's not like history. If I was to teach history, all I'd need to do really is just read a load of history books and understand history well, get a degree in history. But history doesn't change. History stays the same. Music every single day is going to change. So in order to teach it, you kind of need to be doing it. So like if you can do and if you can't teach doesn't really apply to it. It's I mean, that's how I feel about it. If I wasn't actively making music, there's no way I'd be able to come up with content that's relevant, that would keep people entertained or keep people like into what they're learning, because you kind of got to keep or got to know what sort of music's out at the minute, or know, for one especially, all these different artists that some of these students are into that are so fresh. You kind of need to know who they are in order to stay relevant with the scene and make sure that they don't think that you're just some old fart that hasn't made music in 15 years.
Well, I guess you need to know about mix techniques and things like that, so that, and what mix techniques the pros are using, so that you can try and get that across. But then you know, from your point of view as a lecturer, it's probably very difficult to be able to say because jump 50 steps to tell them, okay, well, you know, for what I'm saying earlier on, where I can teach you within a few hours how to work a parametric EQ, for example, the way that I would use it, but you'd have to have a basic knowledge of what a parametric EQ is.
Exactly.
It's not like I could teach my son or my wife or whatever to do it, because they just wouldn't get it at all. You need a level of knowledge to be able to get there. And I guess that's what you get if you can try and get some kind of job placement afterwards. But somebody going to university just so that they think they're going to get a job in the music industry, I also think it's pretty naive, because I don't think that I know there's not enough work out there for everybody to go and work in a studio, because there's only a certain amount of big studios now, you know, Metropolis being one of them, and they've probably got 4 tape ops and a couple of guys that work at, you know, a couple of younger guys that work in maintenance, if that's what you wanted to get into, or, you know, so it's very difficult. It's, you know, I guess college these days, I would say, needs to be more about, okay, if you're going to do this as a career, it should be teaching you, how can I do this as a self-employed person when I leave and make a living out of it?
Yeah.
Because to try and think that you're going to go to college and then, as I thought when I was younger doing the SAE thing, I thought, well, if I go to college, if I go to the SAE, which was my whole kind of what I'm going to do this year, by the end of the year, I'll be working at Abbey Road.
That's what everyone thought.
Yeah,
everyone thinks
that. but there's just a totally unrealistic thing to do. You have to think, okay, well, this is going to be, I'm probably going to earn nothing for 10 years working for myself.
Yep.
I'm, you know, for anybody going into music, they've got to be realistic these days that it's not, unless you're right at the peak in the top sort of 1% of the world, and that takes years to get to.
Or you know someone that's in the top bracket of the working industry day in, day out, like you're the cousin or the nephew of someone that's very big in the game. But, that's the only way.
But even so, it comes down to networking and whether they like you and whether you're prepared to do the work for them. Because it doesn't matter who they are, they still want to make sure they haven't got an idiot sitting in the room.
Yeah, of course.
Because for their clients, you know, I know loads of producers who have got kids that, you know, they need kids to do stuff, but they won't get them in because they don't, they think the artists will think they're a bit of a
amateur.
Well, it's just, they're going to annoy the artist, and the artist won't say, oh, that guy's annoying me. He'll just go and use another producer.
Yeah.
Because it's just annoying for them, because, you know, they don't, you know, they don't want to cause hassle and say, oh no, get rid of that assistant.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to find an assistant that's good and fits in with the right people from a producer's point of view. So then that's limiting to who, how many people are coming up in the industry.
Yeah. I mean, you're more likely to, you're less likely to get, like you say, an idiot if they've been to college or they've been and studied it in some form, like studied what it is in some form, but then know when they get there, they are there to empty bins and they're there to keep their mouth shut until they're spoken to for a little bit, until they can sort of prove or they get asked to come in or ask their opinion on something and then relay exactly what you know and then see how it works from there. But all, I'd say 90% of students do have that thing in their mind that if I go to college or if I go to university and study, that degree that I get at the end of it means that I can walk into Abbey Road or walk into Metropolis and say, I want a head engineer's job. I want to work here every single day and I want to be mixing the top 10 records. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It's one of the first things that I say to pretty much every student. Do not expect to make it with a piece of paper that says you got a degree. Like, make it. I know a lot of people that when I studied didn't get firsts in their degrees. Like, they got thirds or 2-2s or 2-1s. But they're doing a lot better than a lot of people that got firsts are doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're actually But
that comes back to what I'm saying to you about, like, keenness and working, doing rubbish.
Yeah.
Clearance. And, you know, just being really keen and not being the big I am.
Yeah.
I think anyone coming out of college like that is just, you know, no one's going to want to employ them, really.
Yeah. I mean, and that you can kind of tell as well, like, who's very employable just by, like, you don't even have to hear them talk. You don't even have to hear what they're making, what they're doing. You can just kind of tell the punctuality of someone makes you employable. I say to them, you could have the best degree in the world. It's your attitude that's going to get you the job. And it's the knowing when to say something, when not to say something, and when to be you and when to be the assistant. Like,
well, but that also goes back to, like, because there isn't a lot of jobs in studios for an assistant, it goes back to, even if you're working with clients in the same way that I work with clients, it doesn't matter where I'm working or what experience I've got. It's just knowing to be respectful to the client and not be a big I am and stuff, not just to the engineer if you're going to work for somebody, but even if you want to go freelance at the end. And it's just about how you have relationships with clients. Otherwise, you won't have any clients.
Yeah.
And how to deal with them. And that should be one of the main focuses of people when they're doing anything.
And I mean, that's one thing that is not taught that is taught as, like, a module in colleges and universities, etiquette module.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It would be good to have an etiquette module, like knowing what to say, knowing how to deal with clients. And it could be literally just like a role-playing type lecture where it's, okay, for today, I'm going to be...
you're the client. I'm the awkward client.
Exactly. Today. I'm the really awkward client that's going to bring my dog into the session, for instance.
And the dog's farting all the time.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask that when I'm singing, I don't use headphones when I'm singing. I use a headphone on and a headphone off, but I have to be this far away from just really awkward people.
How'd you deal with that? How would you get around that? And that's a really important, I think that's probably one of the most important things you could teach somebody personally.
I mean, I'll say a funny one. A couple of weeks ago, some of the students were saying to me that they had a lecture where, for the most of it, all they were doing was tying up cables was like rolling cable and making sure that they had, there was a big pile of cables in the middle of the room. And the guy who was running the lecture said, sort the cables out. When you're done, let me know. And they got annoyed by it. And I said,
no,
to them,
that's
yeah,
perfect.
But exactly. I said to them, yeah, but now I guarantee you, you walk into any studio and the engineer that says to you, right, we're done with this session. Now it's your job to sort the cables out. You're going to get it done in 10 minutes and you're not going to worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is real life jobs.
I so remember doing that when I was at Battery.
Yeah.
We used to go in the studio with my band at the time. And, you know, at the end of the session, I'd just walk off and the engineer's like, oh, what are you doing? Because I wasn't a tape op. I wasn't used to it. But then it's like, just from having that one session where I was rolling the thing, because there's a certain way to roll a cable,
which
you don't know if you've never done it.
Exactly.
And so I remember rolling the cable and she's like, what are you doing? So just taught me to like turn it as I'm rolling and stuff and the length it needs to be and all that. Yeah. By about five cables in, I mean, this is such a basic thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But by five cables in, I'm like, now every cable I ever have anywhere, I'm rolling it in that way.
Yeah,
and it's just a little habit like that that are really important to teach people.
Yeah, and there's a lot of the students, well, especially me as well, like I expected when I get there, I'm going to be straight in, I'm going to be making hits, and all I'm going to be doing is making the best music ever, when really you kind of need to know, you're not going to, once you leave here, you're not going to go straight in and be head producer in a production house. You're going to be the guy that makes the tea, that sorts the cables out.
Well, set up. It should be like, what do you do when you're in the studio? Flatten the desk at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Make sure everything's tidy.
Recall.
It's like all these basic stuff. Yeah. How are you going to recall something? How you, and it's just like, they're all the on the job stuff that you need to know. And it's like, if you go to a session and someone said, oh, we'll try you out for a week, and you're doing, all you're doing is that stuff, right? Because you're not going to be getting your hands on the desk. But if at the end of the session, you're like, oh yeah, I'll just straighten all this up. The engineer's thinking, love him.
Result.
Love him.
Exactly.
He's doing, the studio's clean. When I come in the morning, all the mics are set up. All the cables are nice. At the end of the session, they're all tied up and hanging back on the rack.
Yep.
It's just like lovely that.
Desk
I mean,
is
I would employ someone all day just on that basis.
Yeah.
That they're making my life so easy. I come in and my session's set up.
Exactly.
Just brilliant.
And that is how, as an assistant or as the new guy, you get into the room quicker. That is how you end up getting into the room.
Oh, that's how
quicker.
You become that. Listen, why do you think Flood is called Flood? Because he made loads of tea.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Flood the producer, you know what I mean? It's like he just made tea after tea and everyone's like, oh, call him Flood. And they had another engineer at the same time called Drought.
Yeah.
And where's Drought these days? You know?
Yeah.
So it just says it all, really.
It's like I do a session once at the start of each module, session prep. So we make no music, we listen to no music, it's silence for 2 hours, for a lecture of 2 hours. And basically, you've got a session that looks like rubbish, and what you have to do is colour code it, name it properly, folder take it, have different session values, and everyone sort of looks at me like, what is this rubbish we're doing? But then once it's done, and they hand me over sessions for like assessments and things, they look amazing. And then they sort of realise, oh, okay, but it's not just me that's going to be listening to this music. In the real world, I may need to hand it over to someone. Or I may be doing it for someone else.
So someone else can take over the session.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, we could go on and on. I mean, exporting stems correctly. Just like making someone else's life easy, you know, making sure mix bus, like the way that you run things off for mastering guys, all these things for a tape op to do.
Yep.
It's just, do they call them tape ops anymore?
Just assistants. No, it's not a tape, because they haven't got tape machines anymore. You haven't got an operator tape machine.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's so old. I've got my cans on at the moment.
The cans.
So old school. Brilliant. Anyway, I can't handle it any longer. Let's stop talking.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for listening. If you got this far, then congratulations.
Well done.
And thanks for listening. You can see us live on YouTube, well, not live, but you know what I mean, you can see our faces, and you can buy my book on Amazon on mastering if you're really that bored of an evening.
Nice.
And like that plug.
It was pretty good.
And we'll see you next week. This is happening every week on a Friday, so tune in. If you want, every Friday you get a newsletter from my website as well with a load of nonsense, so
smooth.
Sign up there.
Smooth.
And see you in the future. Thanks for listening. Bye. Goodbye.